What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Real Bodybuilding Podcast, episode number 76, and I'm with my first shirtless guest, former Mr. Olympia, Breon Ainsley. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. I'm very good. Yeah, you caught me, man, while I was just coming back from cardio and eating, and I didn't have time to kind of, you know, clean myself up, take a shower, so I said, let's do it raw.
Yeah, it's better that way. It's all right. It's all good. I'm sure some fans will appreciate that, man. what's your days like, man? How many times a day are you doing cardio and stuff right now? Are your days really, really busy, or do things ease up as you get closer to the Olympia?
Oh no, we're like burning a candle on three ends right now. I'm going to the gym three times a day, cardio in the morning. We train in the afternoon. Then go back at night and we train again, cardio at night, posing at night. Yeah, it's no easing the way through right now. Maybe we ease it in that last week, but right now it's in sixth, seventh gear, man.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I wanna get into some of the X's and O's because people generally like that stuff. How much cardio are you doing?
I do an hour in the morning. We bumped it up. I was doing an hour in the morning, 10 minutes of HIIT cardio after training, and then that was it. Now we bumped it up because I have to make weight. You know what I mean? It's a weight thing here with Classic.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We bumped it up to, So we bumped it up to 20 minutes HIIT cardio after training, and then we'll come back at night and do another 45 minutes.
Oh, so you're doing three sessions of cardio altogether.
Three sessions of cardio, yeah.
So what's the weight cap for you? I don't know what it is. Sorry if I'm not familiar, but
I have to come down to 180.
What are you right now?
190.
So you have 10 more pounds to lose, and you have, what, 4 weeks?
Yep, yep.
All right. Yep. But so you don't have
– what is that? About 2 pounds a week, right? Four, six.
2.5 pounds.
Eight, yep. 2.5 pounds. Yeah.
But there's nothing left to lose, man. I saw your most recent picture. I'm going to show everybody really quickly for anybody who lives under a rock, who doesn't know who Breon Ainsley is yet. I'm going to show you. This is Breon's Instagram page. Follow him, Breon_Ma. This is the most recent photo, or one of the most recent photos you posted. I don't know where you're going to get 10 pounds from.
Yeah, that was what, three nights ago. That posing one that I did of the back double was just yesterday.
This is crazy.
I mean, you can see, you can see some, there's a little folds underneath the, with the hamstring and the glute there. And then still the low back needs to be tight. That's where I see where I'm going to lose at least another, maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5. Then we'll get to the rest of the 4 or 5. You know what I mean? When we shave off the first 4 or 5.
Let me ask you something. I'm gonna try and put you on the spot here because nobody ever does this.
Right.
Is this picture filtered at all?
Fuck no. Oh, excuse my language.
No, you can swear, it's all good. So there's not any structuring, nothing. It's all just this.
No structure. Yeah. No, we all know about that structure. No structuring. No way, man. Come on.
Dude, this is sick, man. That's a really crazy photo. So this is, I just want to show people a couple more shots just so they know what they're looking at. So this is, I mean, I could see a few pounds, but 10 is going to be like crazy.
10 is going to be crazy. But the good thing about it is I know for a fact I'll be the sharpest and most conditioned and most shredded up there. There's no doubt in my mind.
All right. So how many times have you won the Olympia? Once or twice?
Two times,
right? And then Chris won last year. I know there's a lot of controversy around it, but can you maybe, if you had to guess yourself, if you had to put your own finger on it, what would you say the difference was last year and why he won? We're getting right to it.
I'm going to go here, Fuad, and I'm going to just say it. I don't think it's nothing that has to do with his physique.
Okay.
It doesn't have anything to do with his physique. It has to do with him just looking opposite of me.
Okay.
You know, as far as a representative for the classic physique that they chose to have for the year.
All right, let me I'm going to play devil's advocate in some of this podcast, just so, but I'm a fan of your physique. I'm also a fan of Chris's physique. I think you guys both have amazing physiques.
Yes. But I want to go. I am too. Yeah. Let me put that out there before I, you know, as well.
Yeah. But I want to go back a little bit because I believe, if correct me if I'm wrong, you started your career as a bodybuilder, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. You were
212. I started in the 212, competing in 2014 in 212 class. And then I took 2015 off, but yep. Started in
the 212. Okay. So there was only 1 year as a 212 pro?
1 year.
Okay. Yep. How did you do that year?
Terrible. Okay. Terrible.
Yeah. So when classic started, was it like you knew that was your class? You knew that's where you were going? It was like you kind of like a godsend for you?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, classic, my weight cap had to be, well, I turned pro at 176 pounds as a middleweight, right? At USA's. And so classic, just a few years later, the weight cap was 175, and I knew how I looked around that weight. Mm-hmm. So I said, let me just do that. I was playing the size game, you know, in the 212 class, not my game, which is being sharp and having lines and details everywhere and outmatching everybody on the conditioning, mm-hmm. You know. And when classic came about, I said, well, let me go ahead and crack that open. I know I could do well at it because my weight class is the same of where I turned pro at.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my shape and my look at that weight class.
Are you happier being this athlete, or were you the kind of guy that wanted to get huge, but you just feel like this is better for you?
There's a few answers to that. I'm happier being this athlete, the classic athlete, because it's more marketable, I believe.
Yeah.
It's more marketable.
Yeah.
It's more entertaining.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, and I come from an entertainment background,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the acting business, entertainment business. So those are the reasons why I'm really enjoying classic, but at the same time, now my body wants to grow. It wants to grow, and it wants to be it develop more than where my weight cap is. You know, yeah. to see more potential and to see some growth. So now, kind of outgrowing it now. So I hope that they can increase the weight class. You know, after this year, I really do. If not, then we're going to have to seek other challenges. Maybe go to the 212.
You think so? I was just going to ask you that. You think again. So? You would forego. Let's hypothetically say you take second this year, or even if you win, and then next year they say we're still keeping it at 180. Would you forego your championship status to go up?
Well, see, initially I would say yes. Initially, I would say yes, but of course, I'd have to think about it because, you know, I'm not going to be going to the 212 to be mediocre.
Yeah.
I would be going there to definitely contend for a title and win right away. But I personally don't think with my physique, I need to be right at the cusp of 212 to win or to be competitive. I think I can be okay in mid 190s, high 190s.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, I think I can compete pretty well. Yeah. So initially I would say yes to answer the question, Fuad. I would say yes and say I would seek another challenge, and that mm-hmm. would be the 212. But then again, I'd have to you know, think about it and let the emotions, whether I win, whether I get first or second,
yeah,
and let the emotions, you know, come down, and then make a more concrete decision, you know.
So the 212, The first, sorry, not to do 12. The first classic Olympia was Danny Hester. And you won your first Olympia.
Yes, Raisin Bran, Chris. That looks good. My fault. I'm talking to Chris in the background. He's got Raisin Bran. Chris Cormier, you know I'm living with Chris Cormier right now because we're in camp in San Diego.
Yeah.
He's got Raisin Bran right now, cereal right now, and is talking to me. It's talking to me, Raisin Bran.
He's, man, he's fucking with
so good. He got a big ass. Yeah, he got a big ass fried next bowl too. Damn, Chris. You don't have almond milk with that, do you?
That's not very helpful, man. 4 weeks
low fat milk. Chris, be doing it to me. I got a story. I got a story about Chris too with the crumbled donuts, but we'll get into all that later. But yeah, we're in the zone, so we're okay. But you know, I'll be noticing where Chris has around. That's for damn sure.
So when you go to the Chris Cormier camp, he's not worried about your feelings.
He is not worried about my feelings on food. No way. Hell no. Hell no.
You know what?
He's man, we got to toughen you up. We got to put some texture to you.
All right. So listen, I want to go back a bit because you won the classic in what? 17, 18. Right?
17, 18. Yep.
Why do you think you beat Chris? Why do you think you beat Chris those years?
I feel that I was complete from head to toe. I didn't have any. Everything was developed from head to toe. No gaps in my physique. Hmm. You know, I want to say that I also walked the line of as far as what 212 and open bodybuilding also, brings to the table. And it was just a complete nice look all the way around. Complete nice look all the way around. No gaps and great lines. Definition everywhere. Great conditioning.
I'm just trying to draw the distinction between what happened 17, 18 and 19. So 19, you're saying, you don't think it was something on stage that are you trying to say that it was his offstage persona maybe that carried him?
Possibly, yes. Offstage persona. Now, I think Chris has very great shots. Certain shots that he hits are great. Classic shot, his front lat spread shot, his ab and thigh shot. But then, you know, front lat spread shot is not enough. You know, those are only two shots that I think that he beat me in that I think he may have scored him ahead of me on. And it was a 1 point difference, remember? So, you know, they scored him winning three shots and me winning two. Mm-hmm. But I think that those are the only two shots. If you're going to get into the nuts and the bolts of it, I think those are the only two shots that I think that he was even close to me in is the ab and thigh and the classic pose.
Yeah.
And we have three other shots though. You know, we got front double, we got back double, we got side chest.
Yeah. But I want to ask you, there's it seems to be tough for people to quantify what classic is. Sometimes some people say there is just a look, right? Like I remember, this is how I'll explain it, and I hope nobody gets offended by this, but I remember seeing George Peterson on stage with you guys. I think he took third 1 year. I think he was third. I think Keon was fourth. Mm-hmm. And I thought
that was last year.
Yeah.
George took third the past 2-3 years. I want to say 17, 18, 19. George was third.
So my point is like, when I look at George, I see a bodybuilder. He doesn't look classic to me. He looks like a bodybuilder. Like he looks like now that he's in the 212, he looks like that's where he belongs. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not saying I think you have classic lines. I think Chris has classic lines, but it's almost like there's a thing where people can't quantify what the classic look is, right? Like when you're telling me the judging, you're saying, well, I win this shot, he wins this shot. But isn't that more like bodybuilding judging than it is? Because there's an other category in classic, like, does he look classic? There's not really, like, you can't put that on a score sheet. So could
well, there
that...
is there is the classic pose that they score.
Yeah.
The classic pose.
Yeah, but the...
So they score that one.
Okay. But the overall look, like I was saying about George Peterson, like,
yeah,
if you stood next to George, right? Let's say George beat you on all six shots or seven shots, mm-hmm. right? Right? And let's say his conditioning was better than yours. I would still say that you win because you have a more classic physique. Does that make sense?
Okay. And your definition of classic physique would be what? Like,
that's the problem. That's the problem.
Specifically.
Yeah, that's the problem is I don't know. Like, that's what I'm saying is I don't know if anybody can quantify what that means. It's just a look that people want to see, right? Like, you look more classic than George. Therefore, even if he beats you in a back double bicep and his conditioning is better, I don't think it matters. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but and I understand why it's still confusing for everybody out there, because George still gets third place, you know, still gets third place, which is great.
Yeah.
So that's still classic enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. But what I'm saying is George could beat you and Chris in poses and be just as conditioned, but he won't beat you and Chris in classic because you guys have a more classic look.
Yeah.
But there's
so
but I don't have a definition for that. That's the thing.
Well, I guess let's see if we can depict what classic is specifically. I think classic definitely starts with a small tight waist. Mm. We'll start with it there. I think it starts and then goes from there with the flow of the body, with nice sweeping lats, a nice sweeping quad development, and you know, nice flow of the whole body, which is not too rigid, I guess.
That's the word. That's
everywhere, and it's a pretty flow.
That's the word I think of when I think of George Peterson. I think of ridges, right? Like, yeah. his body's very cut in, like a bodybuilder, right? Whereas you and Chris have more flow to your physiques. So the reason I'm saying this is you're saying Chris beat you because of offstage things, possibly, because you beat him in certain poses. But what I want to ask you is, could it be the flow is what they're looking at? Like, do you feel like that's what their thing is?
Yes. I think that I would say the flow is important in classic. The flow is definitely a part of the definition of what a classic physique is.
Mm-hmm.
The flow. And Chris has great flow, you know, he has great flow. He has great sweeping lats, it's great shoulders. You know, he has great X frame because his waist is so small especially when he does his vacuum pose. And I don't think, see, that's another thing. Going back to George, I don't think George can even do a vacuum pose and make his waist. He has a narrow waist already.
Yeah.
But I don't think he can make his waist even narrower and get the look of the sweep and the prettiness.
Yep.
Of the classic style.
Yep. Yep.
You know,
so where does that leave you this year? How are you going to take back your title?
Better posing. We're going to pose a certain way. We're going to pose bigger. We're going to pose more dominant. We're going to pose taller, you know, because they said that because they're saying that Chris's structure is what's so great, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to stand tall, and we have to stand right up there with his structure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. And also my conditioning, man, this year, and my sharpness this year is going to be unlike any year, and it's not going to be matched. So yeah. I'm already bringing the same muscle bellies, the same roundness, the same quality to the stage that I have in the past 3 years. So that's not going to be a problem. But now it's just going to be posing different, and it's going to be the conditioning is going to be sharper. We're going to be bleeding from the seams, man.
So you said you came from an art background. When you pose, when you go out on stage last year or the year before, you said you want to pose taller. Is that partially a confidence thing, or is it more just actually physically you want to stretch out and try and be taller on stage? Or is there an element of like mentality to that?
Yeah, the mentality is, for one thing, it's to pose, because I don't think in certain poses that I am accentuating my physique when I'm hunkering down, you know, when I'm not statuesque. That's definitely very classic, being statuesque, being upright. Right.
Yeah.
That accentuates the classic looking at that. So it's not a confidence thing. You know, I'm very confident in, you know, what I bring it to the table as far as the physique is concerned, but then also as far as, like you said, the art of it with posing, with the routine, you know, everything is from the low back, man, standing tall. And, like I said, being statuesque, and being upright, and being, you know, holding your chest up and your chin up, you know, as an art form.
Yeah. Who else is coming up on stage that you see challenging you and Chris, or do you see it as like a two-man battle mostly? Not to disparage anybody else that's doing it. You and Chris are the main names. You guys are the guys that people are watching. So I just want to know, as somebody who doesn't follow classic super hard, is there a third and fourth guy coming up the ranks that you guys see challenging?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have some great guys. Alex Cambronero, who won the Arnold Classic in earlier this year.
Yep.
He was a former 212 guy. He has and he could definitely, you know, Alex is a and I definitely am going to say Terrence Ruffin, who got second to Alex at the Arnold as well. He's a killer physique, and he's bringing something special this year, and they're hungry, man. They're hungry, you know. Terrence didn't compete in the Olympia last year. Alex got He probably was disappointed with a sixth place finish last year at the Olympia. And so he's hungry. He wants more this year. He wants a gun for us. That's for sure.
Do you think, and this is, I don't even know why I'm asking this. I'm just curious. Do you think Terrence beat Alex at the Arnolds?
No. I think that was Alex won, rightfully so.
You think so? Yeah. Why do you think he beat? Because as somebody who doesn't, this is the thing about stuff like classic and men's physique. Sometimes it's hard to quantify as a viewer, like as somebody trying to judge. Because when I looked at them, I don't get me wrong, I thought Alex was amazing. But I had Terrence winning. I feel like Terrence's physique just flows more like classic. You know what I mean? So it's just hard, you know, like how do you make that distinction? Like why do you think Alex won?
Yeah. I think that Alex, well, and see, you got to understand that we're not there, you know what I mean? And we don't see the lines and we don't see the refinement that the judges are seeing under the lights right there, you know?
Yeah.
So pictures and all that we're looking at is does us no justice. So I'm just going to say Alex was, because I agree. Terrence has just as good of a classic look as Alex, I think. And can definitely go toe to toe with even myself and Chris on a lot of the shots. But I'm just going to say Alex was sharper. I'm just going to say he may have had more flow from lat to waist ratio and shoulder ratio, shoulder to lat to waist ratio. And I'm going to just say sharper. So I'll just leave it at that.
What do you think of the rise of classic physique? Do you think any bodybuilders I've talked to all respect the classic guys? You know, it's different than men's physique. We see you guys as bodybuilders too. So, Well, what do you think of the rise of classic physique, the popularity of classic physique, contracts that are available? Like, do you see it growing to be bigger than open bodybuilding one day, or do you see it just as it having its own place?
I see it on the rise for sure, and I see it getting very, very big and very, very popular. I'm going to say on the Olympia level, it's never going to surpass the open guys, because that brand, the Olympia brand, was built on the open guys.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Maybe classic, you know, will surpass the open bodybuilding in the Rock Show, you know, FitCon or FitWorld. Mm-hmm. Or other shows that are created, maybe Arnold, because, you know, now Arnold is talking about classic a lot more, and you know, it has a different framework of what Arnold is trying to, where he's trying, how he's trying to promote it and things of that nature. So as far as the Olympia is concerned, the open guys are always going to have the.
I don't mean the Olympia. I mean more like in general, just in the sport in general. Do you think there will come a day where classic will surpass the open bodybuilding? I'm not trying to stir up trouble for you.
right.
There's a whole bunch of bodybuilders going to send you shitty messages.
I know. To be honest with you, I think it's going to be right up there with it. I think open bodybuilding is always going to have its place. They're always going to, because I enjoy looking at those guys, man, and the years that those guys put in to develop the muscle that they do. Definitely well respected. But I think classic is going to catch it.
Yeah,
and be right up there with it. Now we're talking about surpassing it. I don't know, because you know they get 400,000. For an Olympia, we were at 50 right now. Well, 40 Chris got last year. Yeah. So that's a lot of ground to make up.
It's a lot of catching up. Yeah.
That is a lot of ground to make up.
You know what?
I do eventually think that we're going to get there. I do eventually think that classic is going to get there.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually want to ask you about that. So when it comes to, I have my own theory about why this thing is this way, but when it comes to the stage, we'll start with the stage. When it comes to the stage, why do you think, I shouldn't say why do you think, how do you feel about the fact that it is such a disparity between the 400 and the 40? I mean, obviously open's been around a lot longer, but if a third of the audience or half of the audience is coming to see classic, is there a part of you that, I don't want to say upset, but is there a part of you that's like, hey, you know what, we're here, like we need more? Or are you just like, it's cool, I'm going to do this anyway, you guys decide when you're ready to put it up, put the prize money up for us?
Oh no, there's definitely a big part of me that says that classic needs to be paid accordingly. Classic needs to be paid as the draw that we bring in with the excitement that we have, and the, like you said, you know, if there's a half of the or a third of the people that are there to see classic physique, then we should be paid accordingly from that revenue being brought in. Mm-hmm. So I would even say, you know, this year, I could go out on a limb and say that I think classic deserves a big jump in pay, 60,000-70,000 for first place. If we could get it there, I don't know if we can, I don't know if Jake can.
Yeah.
But I think a big jump, like 60,000-80,000, man, this year. Cause I think, I personally think this year classic is the most just as anticipated as the open category this year at the Olympia.
So I will say that even if you got 100,000, that'd be a quarter of the prize money would seem fair. Right. I mean, it would seem to me that a quarter of the audience would be there to see classic and men's physique and other categories, but do you think this is not to, I'm just going to kind of push you a little bit on this, but do you think if the open, and this is not, again, not to disparage open bodybuilding, but I'm just asking just straight out, if open wasn't there, do you think classic could drive the audience?
Yes, without a doubt.
Okay.
I think if open was not there, I think classic can drive the audience and hold its own. I definitely do believe that this maybe even just starting this year, not maybe not last year, maybe not the previous years, but starting this year, I really do think that it can hold its own and it can drive an audience and it could be, it can headline.
But as an open bodybuilder, I'm going to ask you, and I enjoy this conversation because I've always wanted to like go back and forth with a different category about this, but aren't people there to see the freaks? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
When they, this is the thing. This is how I feel like an audience thinks when they sit down. When they watch you and Chris or all of the other classic guys, they're like, wow, that's a beautiful physique. I would love to look like that. And yes. I think 80% of the audience would rather look like you than like me, right? That's I already know that fact. It's more socially acceptable. It's easier to fit into clothes, blah, 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 right?
Right.
But I feel like when somebody pays $100 for a ticket or $500 for a ticket or whatever, maybe they want to see a Rolly Winkler with 25-inch arms and they want to see, right? Like, so maybe are those guys driving the audience because they're such freaks? Not because people want to look like them necessarily, but just because they're so out there that people like have never seen that in real life.
You know, I agree. I'm excited and to see, I'm a fan of those guys too.
Yeah.
So I think there can be, it could be the classic that drives it. It could be the open that drives it.
Yeah.
If you took open out, I think it'll still, I truly think that it could still hold its own, you know, as mm-hmm. far as having a great Olympia. Now that's a big statement. I know, man.
That's a really big statement.
That's a big statement. I know, but I truly feel it. I truly feel that this year, just looking at the buzz, looking at the banter going back and forth on social media, so forth and so on. But the open guys, man, they are the draw. Mm. You said it though, Fuad. You said it. Like, listen, if 80% of the audience says that they want to look like classic, then that's a strong statement too. 80% of the audience.
But that's an audience.
They want to look.
But that's an obvious.
Say it.
Sorry, but that's an obvious statement. Like anybody would say that. If you put a picture of any bodybuilder, if you put like Phil Heath, right? Or Brandon Curry or anybody, right? Next to you or Chris or any other. Right.
Well, they should do that. They should do that.
You mean on the stage?
Yes, man. No. The winners have all the winners.
Okay, wait. Let's get in. We'll
Classic
get into that.
212 and open.
Okay,
well, 212 and open winners showdown.
Okay, we'll get into that in a minute. I like that idea. But I want to just finish that one thought I had, which is I don't think, and this could be my own skewed mind, but I think there's very few the small percentage of people want to look like open bodybuilders. Most people do not want to have 35-inch quads and you know, just they just don't want to walk around like that. Most people want to look normal, be able to look athletic, whatever, you know, all that, all those other words you use. But so that, right. I think I know, but that doesn't necessarily mean even if 80% of the audience wants to look like you, there might be a lot of guys, and don't take any offense to this, okay, but there's probably a lot of guys, there's probably a lot of guys in their gym that look athletic. So it's not like, even though they're not obviously not anywhere near your standard, it's the crazy freakish bodybuilder that they're paying to see. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It does make sense. You know, you pay to see something extraordinary
that you've never seen. Right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. You pay to see something extraordinary, but I think you also pay to see something that you can attain, that you think
achievable.
You can attain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. No, and you know what? At the end of the day, I totally agree with you. And when I look at the sport, I love what you guys are doing. Like I see you and Chris going back and forth, and Chris is going back and forth with Logan, and all these things are happening. And it's actually really exciting to watch. And I actually do agree with you that there should be an increase. And I also agree with you that one day they will be equal, if not surpassed, open bodybuilding. Now, yeah. going back to what you said, what do you think would happen if, let's say you win, let's say Brandon Curry wins, or Phil Heath, whoever, I know everybody has their favorite. Mm-hmm. And then let's say, who's the 212, like Logan, Derek Lunsford, or Kamal, one of those guys wins. What does that look like? What does the three of you sitting there look like? You don't think Phil's going to just win?
I see, well, of course he's going to just
careful. Someone's going to run with this.
I know. Someone's going to run with it, but hey man, we're, you know, we're stirring up conversation here. We're talking about it here.
Yeah, that's right.
This is what we do. Of course. Now Phil next to me is going to just look, he's going to look so much bigger.
Yeah.
He's going to look so much bigger. Right. But we're not judging it on that. Or Phil, even next to the 212 guy, is going to look so much bigger. But we're not going to judge it on that. Let's judge it on. That'd be hard.
Wait, I have an idea.
I was going to say like pound for pound. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pound for pound, who looks better with what they have and the way the muscle sits,
the waist to shoulder ratio, all those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, but or you could do it like this, which would be kind of exciting. You put. And I'm just going to guess some winners, okay? Let's say you win. Let's say Derek Lunsford wins. Let's say Phil Heath wins. The three of you are standing there. Oh, wait, who's the men's physique guy? Are we going to put men's physique in the category too or no?
No.
Because they're wearing shorts? Doesn't count?
Yeah, they can't. You got to show your legs. You can't. Much love to them. And I got friends that are men's physique guys, but. You can't. You're not in the showdown if you're not showing your legs.
The poor men's physique guys. They never get the respect. Okay, so
hey, but the men's physique guys, man, they're on the Saturday night ticket. You know, it's us. Bikini. It's men's physique and it's open bodybuilding. So there is a draw for them too.
They are probably the most attainable of everybody on that stage. You know that, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back. So the three categories are up there. What if the audience got to cheer or vote for who they think wins or who they want to look like the most? That would be pretty fucking cool.
There you go. Kind of like how they do a what did Rolling win last year? Like the people's champ
or whatever.
Yeah. Kind of like a people's champ type of deal. Maybe you could even throw in like some artistic posing.
Yeah.
There you could throw in some things to where you know you the 212 and the open guys have to show some athleticism.
Yeah, that could be fun. I could see you winning that. I could see you sitting next to Phil and Derek Lunsford if those are the winners. And I could see you winning. I think people want to probably look like you more than either one of them, most people. But anyway, I mean it's an exciting thought to think about.
Yeah, I think we need to bring that to Jake, man, for the near future and see what he thinks. And I think it's, you know, with Jake, I think he loves bodybuilding and he listens.
Yeah.
And I think it's exciting to bring new ideas to him for things like this, you know?
So I want to go back to the money for a little bit. Now, one of the things I used to say about men's physique, and I don't necessarily feel this way about Classic, but the men's physique guys kind of would get smaller contracts than the open guys. And a lot of people would say, well, why is that? Because more people want to look like the men's physique guys. And my answer was always, there's probably a lot of guys at gyms that have a six pack and look pretty good. So there's just more people to choose from. So the contracts are going to be smaller because if you say no, there's going to be five guys behind you that have your attributes that are going to say yes.
Yeah.
Classic is probably not the same to that degree, but maybe a little bit. Whereas the open bodybuilders, there's probably not very many guys at 280 pounds walking around that look okay enough that they can represent a company.
Right.
So how are contracts, and this is obviously everything I just said is excluding people with like very large social media followings, because then you're more of an influencer than you're using your sport as a thing, right? But just strictly speaking for contractually, are Classic guys getting the respect they deserve that way?
Well, if you incorporate the social media aspect of it and the engagement with social media, yes.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, I think it's maybe even surpassing the open guys as far as contractually, because of likability. Because of maybe persona, because of
attainability.
attainability and a dynamic of the person.
Yeah.
You know, I know we have some great personalities out there, you know, as far as open guys too, but open guys are just, you know, not as bouncy and as lively, you know what I'm saying?
They're more hardcore and quiet.
Yeah. And for a hardcore brand, for sure. You know, that works. Yeah. That works for a hardcore brand. But if you have stuff that's, you have, you know, products that are for a,
lifestyle,
you know, mainstream market, mainstream market, then I would say that classic and physique is even surpassing, you know, the open guys contractually wise, as far as, you know, per month salaries and things of that nature.
Huh. Do you know, I don't even know if you know this, and just to give people an idea, but, and I want you to say yours, but what would be the average, do you know what the average yearly salary or monthly salary be for like a decent classic physique guy or a top 10 classic physique guy? Do you have any idea?
I could put it out there and tell you what I'm getting from HD, and then, you know, I don't have any shame in my game.
Are you sure they want you to do that?
Let me see.
Maybe you should take it.
Maybe. I have no problems putting it out there, but let me just go ahead and protect them, because I don't know if they would want me to say. But to give you like a range, maybe, I think it would probably see. And that's the thing for why, like nowadays, it has to do with
social media.
It has to do with the social media. And if you have a YouTube and what your engagement like is on all these platforms, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not just strictly what you're doing as an athlete.
True.
You know,
100% true. I think that's where open bodybuilders fall short. I feel like, and I've been a little different that way through my career. I've always done a little bit more online. You know, some bodybuilders now coming up like James Hollingshead and, you know, Luke was very, you know, proactive that way. But most bodybuilders aren't as good as classic guys or men's physique guys at having their own YouTube channel or putting out content or these kind of things. Where do you think we're falling short? How do you think we could be better and be more like the classic guys at like being more open?
I think it just has to come through it's in the person.
Yeah.
You know, it's just in the person.
But what about, what are you doing? But I don't necessarily mean piece of personality, because you're right. That's in the person. But like, you're just not like, for you, for example, you're just not lazy about it. Like you have a YouTube channel, you're constantly posting. Whereas, and I'm asking you kind of to speak to any bodybuilders that are watching that might be coming up. What can they do to learn from the classic guys and learn from the men's physique guys to just be better and actually get those contracts? Because I have a supplement company, right? And I look around and inevitably it's always the classic guys or the men's physique guys I see that have better followings. And not only do they have better followings, they're just doing more. They have their own channels. They're all, so how do we help these guys? Like, what do we do to help these guys get better?
I think you said it. It's doing more. Mm-hmm. Like I have to be conscientious mm-hmm. all the time mm-hmm. about posting stuff for my representatives, about posting for my stuff, posting for them. It's a job. Mm-hmm. It's a job. Every, you know, all seconds throughout the day, post my meals, post what I'm doing with girlfriend, post what I'm doing, you know, in camp right now, post what I'm taking. And every moment you have to be conscientious of it, and you have to put the content out there for the people to see what you're doing. And it's a job, and you have to treat it as such, and you have to just do more and be, like you said, proactive with it. And then mm-hmm. that's just it. That's just it. Just let everybody see what the hell you're doing, man. 24 hours of the damn day. Do you know?
Do you ever feel stupid doing it? Do you ever feel like, and this is speaking from my own personal, because I'm more, and correct me if you think this statement's wrong, but I feel like bodybuilders are more introverted than classic guys or men's physique guys. You guys are more kind of open, more charismatic, those kind of things. So I've posted stuff before. I'm like, oh, that's stupid. I'll delete it and I won't post it. Are there days where you like just don't want to post, or you've posted things and deleted them because you're like, I don't want to post that, it's stupid? Or like, do you go through that, or are you just kind of like cool with whatever you create?
Yeah, I do go through that. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, oh man, I don't feel like, you know, posting today. I don't feel like letting the people know what I'm doing at this moment or, you know, that moment. And some things maybe are silly. You know, I definitely, you know, because we're human, we're all human, right? And so we all have we all are in our minds about certain things and maybe, what do you call it? Insecure maybe about some things. But all in all, man, listen, you know, it's as a job, you just have to man up and do it. If you want, salary, if you want to make money in the business, and especially, you know, branding yourself, getting out and doing your own thing, you know, and having your own supplements one day, having your own apparel one day, having your own coaching business one day, you have to be proactive and you have to be out there and have to be talking to the people on a moment to moment basis. That's just the times we live in, and it's just the way it is.
Yeah. I'm trying to get through to these younger bodybuilders who are coming up who don't. The number one thing they say to me is, "I feel stupid." Yeah. I feel stupid, and plus, they'll say to me, "My life is boring. I don't do anything. I just go to the gym."
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you solve that puzzle? Like, how do you?
Yeah.
If all you do is go to the gym and eat, right?
Yeah.
And maybe spend time with your girlfriend sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you consciously? I remember sitting with Reagan one day, and I hope he doesn't get mad at me for outing him because I don't think it's really. I don't think I'm really outing him, but he sat for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, trying to think of this caption to go with his photo. Yeah. And the reason I bring up Reagan is because Reagan, I think, has mastered social media. I don't know why. I just feel like he posts something and he writes a caption. And it just kind of all flows together very well. He's very good at it. But he sat and thought about it for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, I've never done that. You know, when I post something, I'm just like, okay, that's good. Send it out. So what I'm asking you is, do you consciously create these things? Like, do you consciously sit and think this will be good? I'm going to position it this way. I'm going to write this thing with it. It's a full thing. It's not just like, this is what I'm doing and put it out there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There are those moments for sure. When I consciously, I've done that too with that, you know, sat 15, 20 minutes trying to think of a caption. Like, babe, I can't figure out a caption to go with this video or picture. I'm just stumped right now. And maybe I'll leave and come back, you know, or sit there for a minute. But yeah, I have too. And it's, well, even like, you know, you want to think things through, and I'll even go to bed thinking about what I want to post the next day and how I'm going to lay out the whole next day's posting. Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's really eye-opening. You know, that I think a lot of that probably going to help a lot of young people to know. Cause I think we get lost. Like, even myself, like I'll see like your posting or, you know, Reagan or whoever, like you, that's good at it. And you're like, you feel like maybe you're not as good at posting because it's not coming to you. Like you're not posting the same things. Right. And you're like, well, how come it's so easy for them?
Yeah.
But what you're telling me is it's not really easy for you. You take the time and you think about what to post. And now you're telling me even think about the next day's posts.
Absolutely.
That's extremely helpful to anybody young that's listening, because I don't think these young bodybuilders are planning out their next day's posts.
Yeah.
So that's an extremely helpful thing. So thank you. But
absolutely.
What's it like living with Chris? What's it like? There's two parts to this. I'll start with the positive side. What's it like having Chris mentor you? And is it a mentorship? Is it a diet coach? Is it just posing? Like, what exactly, how does Chris help you?
We train, and he helps me with the posing.
Okay. Who does your diet? Who does your diet? Anybody?
Yeah. Brandon Gurdis with Body Geeks.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get that out of the, but what is, so Chris is helping you with training, posing, and you're living at his house for how long?
Until a week out.
No, I know, but how long have you been there for?
Oh, I've been there for a week already. I got here Sunday. It's Sunday today. So I've been here for a week.
So you'll
here for another three.
So you'll spend 4 weeks at Chris's leading up into the O.
Yeah. And this one was a shorter one this year because just what I had going on in LA. We're in San Diego now, but we usually have spent, and when we were in Kuwait, I think it was 6 weeks. And mm-hmm. then when we went to Arizona last year, it was 5 weeks. So in the 6-5 week range, we usually will hunker down. This one is a little bit shorter, 4 weeks now. But nevertheless, man, we hit the ground running.
What's it like living, training, posing with Chris? Is he like is it super intense, or is he more like laid back?
He's a laid back person himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's laid back, but when it's time to train and when it's time to hit those two failure sets,
mm-hmm.
then it's as intense as ever. It's yeah. as intense as ever. That's what helps set my physique apart as far as now when we get into definition and lines and refinement that these judges are going to see and conditioning. Mm-hmm. And he always tells me too, don't ever do cardio. Don't ever do any steady state cardio, no matter how long it is. Yeah.
Really?
Don't ever do any steady state cardio. Yeah. Go hard on the cardio. You know,
what is that? What does that mean though? What does that mean for like a 45 minute session? Like how hard are you going?
Man, a 45 minute session, I'll go up to, say it's on the treadmill. I'll have it on an incline with 15, and I'll have like a 3.3, 3.4 speed.
Jeez.
For 45 minutes.
Are you holding on to anything?
I might hold on for like, I'll play with it. You know,
periods of holding on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Periods of holding on, you know, and then really exert myself for like a good 10, 15 minutes and then hold. And if I'm holding on, then we're going to go up to, we got the treadmills at the gym, man, that go up to 20 and on the incline. So I was at 20 on the incline today, huffing, going at a speed 4, holding on. Really? So yeah.
Huh. So what about posing? How long are you guys posing for?
We pose for a good 30 minutes, 40 minutes a day.
And it's round and around, like just short breaks for breath, or what is that?
Yeah, rounds, quarter turns, mandatories, take a break, take two breaks, go back again. Yeah, every day.
Obviously, Chris has developed a serious relationship with you. Like, you guys are very close because it's evident online. So explain to me how it makes you feel when Chris is, because I remember there was a, I don't know the specific posts because I don't read through all the comments all the time, but I know there was a lot of shit being thrown back and forth after last year's Olympia. Right. How does that feel for you? Do you feel like you want, do you like when Chris does that shit and like sticks up for you and has your back, or do you wish he would kind of like chill a bit so that it's not so like there's no attacks and stuff going on?
Oh no, I love it.
Yeah?
I love it. I absolutely love it. He's, you know, because Chris has his eye, man, is just like he's been in this sport for years and he sees what he knows what he sees.
Yeah.
And he had the seat right there damn near with the judges right behind them. And for him having my back like that, man, that's everything. And because he sees what I'm going through on a day-to-day basis. He sees how the body is looking and how it's changing. And so I love him having my back, and I love him going to bat for me, and I love him being aggressive out there when he doesn't think something is right.
Mm-hmm.
And I love him for it.
But do you think, obviously anybody would love that their close friend has their back. I mean, that goes without saying. But does it cause undue stress when there's like Instagram fights going on and shit like that? Would you rather not have that stress, or are you like, no, people need to hear the truth, or there's exactly. your truth or his truth?
The latter. Yeah. People need to hear the truth, and people need to know what's really going on, and they really need to know and whether it's one way or the other. If there's other people that think very strongly that in the opposite direction of Chris, then we want to hear from them too. We want to hear why. and we want to hear their opinion, and we want to hear their strong statement as if it's contradictory, you know, of what Chris is feeling.
That's really interesting. So you don't care on your social media if people come on there and say, no, I think Chris won and this is why, and he's better than you, and you don't care if they come out and say that. That tension usually gets to people. None of that really bothers you.
None of it bothers me because I know how hard I'm working, man. Shit. I know how hard I'm working and I know what I bring to the table, and I'm just so ready to show, to showcase, you know, okay. I'm just saying it fuels me. I'll say, okay, you know, watch this or watch that. I don't need to be fueled by them anyway, but you know, cause I'm already, you know, I know I'm more confident in just my hard work and what I'm going to be able to showcase on stage through my hard work. But I like the, you know, I've grown up playing sports all my life, and that's what we do. We talk shit. you know, that's what we do. We talk shit. I played positions in sports to where we were shit talkers. I was a defensive back in football. All defensive backs are shit talkers. You know, I ran track, all sprinters are shit talkers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then let's see, I played a little basketball too, and I was a point guard. All point guards are shit talkers, right?
Yeah.
So you enjoy, I love it, you know? Yeah, I enjoy it. I take it for what it is. I don't let it get, you know, I don't let it get into my skin. I don't let it get too thin-skinned about it all. It's what sports is all about. This is sports, and this is competition, and it's what it's all about. It's people going at each other, you know, and let's face off mano a mano. Let's do this. You have to beat me. I have to beat you.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, we laugh at it. And I think we just appreciate the competition, and whatever happens happens. And then we get back to the drawing board and we take each other's heads off on the next one.
Is that your equation for being above it all? Because honestly, like when I watch your Instagram, whether I'm watching like a story or a post or whatever, I'm like, this guy's above all the shit. Like, I don't know how you live above it all. Right. Like some people are in the shit, like they feed it, they feed it, they live in it. It bothers them. They, you know what I mean? I've been there myself. Right.
Yeah.
You seem to always be smiley. I don't give a fuck what you all have to say. Like, I'm good.
No, again, I'm human, right? So some of the shit does get to me.
Okay.
And there was a point this year where it did get to me, you know what I mean? Where I had some interview with, I was going back and forth with Nick Strength and Power, and I had something that I was talking to Bradley Martin about,
Do you want to tell me what that was about? I didn't catch that one. What was that feud about?
Well, I told Bradley Martin that, you know, I didn't think a Mr. Olympia should have lagging body parts.
Then
Nick Strength and Power, with his following, his cult following, he made a post, he made a video about it, and he went off into all kind of other things about why he doesn't feel that I'm going to win the Mr. Olympia again. And I just felt, you know, as kind of like a, I don't know if I want to say that. I just felt like as a journalist of his caliber that hasn't competed and is not in the is not woven in our sport, us competitors.
Yep.
I just feel certain strong statements and certain strong opinions are just like, man, disrespectful.
Well, just to agree with you, I think Nick's very good at what he does when it comes to the news. He's very good at putting out, like, this is what happened today, this guy said to this guy, blah, 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 blah. Where I think he falls short, and I really don't give a shit who likes what I have to say or not, where I do think he falls short is his opinions, because his opinions seem to be just a popular opinion, but not necessarily the right opinion.
Exactly.
And it's not as objective as it should be. And furthermore, even if they were right? Let's say even if he was right, I think his strongest suit is that if he wants to be a journalist, journalists usually don't put in their opinions journalists usually just tell the news. So I think that's where, but I mean, he's got his YouTube channel. He can do whatever the fuck he wants, right? But I feel like I kind of agree with you in a sense that it's tough for somebody of your caliber to take an opinion from somebody who's never done it or done it long enough to really understand necessarily. So I don't blame you for feeling that way, but so that's what happened. He just kind of went off on his thing, and you guys had it.
So then I made a video in response to his video saying I had brought up all the issues on why he's on that were contradictory of what he was saying, and why he really doesn't. Is not making sense about me not winning another Mr. Olympia again and classic physique going in a different direction. So I was just going at all those points and proving that they were false points that I thought.
Yeah.
Right. So then I have all his followers, you know, just attacking me on my YouTube, attacking me on my Instagram. Yeah. Saying things, you know, all kind of things. And at that point it was a little overwhelming. But I said, you know what, man, let me just understand what's going on here. Understand who I am.
Yeah.
Understand that at the end of the day, I have to get to work and I have to perform. And, you know, you gotta let the naysayers be naysayers.
Yeah.
And I also said, you know what, I'm going to embrace it because, hey man, there's something true to form when they say, if they're not talking about you like that, or they're not, you're not being attacked, or you're not being challenged, then you're not doing something right. So
that's right. That's
I guess
right.
I'm doing something right.
Yeah. When they stop talking about you, then it's a problem, right? Okay. So I won't keep you too much longer because we've been on for a bit, but I want to ask you couple of personal things. How long you been with the girlfriend?
3 years now. Are we going on our third year? 2000 and oh boy, I better get
you're
this
get in
right.
Trouble.
Yeah, I better get this right. We were official in the at 2018 Olympia, so we're going on 3 years. 18, 19, 20. Yeah, we're going on 3 years. More than 2 years. I know that.
is she involved in the sport too?
Yes, yes. Her name is Dani Phelps. She's an IFBB bikini pro as well.
Okay.
And
Does she compete a lot?
No. She's been off for the last year, so she will. Okay. She has her ears and nose steaming to get on stage next year. She's going to do, she wants to crack it open next year and like shock the world next year. So she'll be ready.
How is it? A lot of people ask me like what the best scenario is for a bodybuilder or competitor. Is it better to be with somebody who competes or not somebody who doesn't compete, or all these different scenarios, right? How have you found, I mean, obviously you guys are happy because you've been together for 3 years, but is it ever a struggle being with somebody who competes, and have you competed at the same time before and had those struggles?
Yes, it actually is a struggle. I'm going to say, first of all, overall, it's the best thing because of the understanding,
of course,
you know, of what you have to do and what needs to be done to improve the physique and to keep improving and to have what you need to have.
Yeah.
But then when you have two competitors, maybe who are prepping at the same time, you know, and then your relationship, like I need her to do certain things that I need her to support me in, but she's saying that she needs the support too from my end, you know, because she's in prep as well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe you guys are in low calories at the same time and kind of tired. And so it kind of, you know, there might be a little rift. You know, as far as that is concerned, but all in all, it's, I think it's a beautiful thing because the overall thing is that it's an understanding of what each person needs on a moment to moment basis, as far as competing and as far as looking your best,
Yeah.
And the support that you need, you know, in a relationship. So I would say more, way more so than having somebody that does not compete or does not understand, yeah. you know, yeah. The aspects of it, way more, way better than that scenario.
Yeah. I feel like that, I feel like the toughest part of it is the attention. I feel like if,
okay. Okay.
You gotta go.
No. Just holler at Chris for a second.
It's okay. We're not going to be long, but I was just going to say, I feel like the toughest part is the attention, not necessarily the, like, I know what I'm prepping. I want my wife to worry about me. What am I doing? When is the time for me to eat? Am I sore? Do I need an ice pack? Like, just take care of me right. for like the next 3 or 4 months. And she doesn't,
right.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I cook all my own food and all that shit. She's got her own, she's an ambitious person, got her own job, but I still need that emotional attention. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I feel like that's the toughest part is you got to share that emotional attention with somebody else who's looking for the same thing.
Yeah.
And
as a woman, you know, they're emotional anyway. So they need the emotional attention.
Yeah.
All right. So it could be, we haven't got all into it yet because she's not like deep. We haven't been in the relationship, but she's been deep into prep. Yeah. And I know she's going to lead a lot more emotional attention as the time, you know, moves on. Yeah. So, and I'm ready to give that to her. Even if I have to take, if I have to take next year off, I'm even thinking about taking next year off maybe because I've been going hard for the past 4 years. And then, you know, just supporting her and helping her reach her goals and helping her reach, you know, her dreams. And so
she's probably had to sacrifice a lot letting you, not letting you, but being okay with you taking off to Chris's for 4, 5, 6 weeks. I mean, that's got to be a sacrifice on her part too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Is it easier for you in prep? And this isn't a knock on her because I know guys that feel better this way, but is it easier for you in prep when you are away and you don't have to, you just can focus on just what you're doing, or is it easier when you're there with her?
I would say it's easier when I'm away because just for me, I'm always thinking about, is she okay?
Yeah.
What does she need?
Yeah.
Is she okay? You know, babe, are you okay? You're good. We good, you know, and to not have to be conscious of that is good to where I could just focus on, am I okay?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And everything that I need. Mm-hmm. And even if she says, it's even like subconsciously, mm-hmm. Even if she says, yeah, babe, I'm all right. We're good. I'm all right. We're good. I'm always thinking, you know, it's in my mind where I'm thinking, okay, is she good? She's good. Do you need anything? And that's just, you know, like that time and that energy, you know, on a day-to-day basis and weeks, that mm-hmm. adds up to time yeah. that, you know, maybe taken away from yourself.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And even if time-wise you're getting all the stuff you need to get done, there's a mental energy being spent worrying all the time. Because I feel that way too. Because it's like we're so selfish in what we're doing that there's obviously like this guilt that we have.
Yeah.
And we're like, am I treating her like shit? Does she feel like she's neglected? Yeah. But I know what you mean. Yeah. When they're not around, if you're off on your own or they're gone somewhere, you're like, there's no guilt anymore. You're like, I can just focus on what I'm doing. So
absolutely.
It makes sense.
I mean, and I think it's a good thing to not necessarily have the guilt, but just be conscientious of how your girl is doing, man, and want to, cater to her, how she's feeling, you know, mm-hmm. always want to know how she's feeling. Always want to do your best in support. So it's still a good healthy thing, but in prep, maybe not so much.
In prep, we got to be selfish. That's right.
Yeah.
Last topic. I just want to ask. So you said you were into entertainment. What how have you done any shows? Have you done any acting gigs? And are you going back to that after bodybuilding is done, or like, what is your play? Is that just a hobby?
Yeah, I was heavily in the game in 2000, from 2002 to 2009, 10, heavy in the acting game.
Yeah.
Yes, and I was in some great stuff. I was in probably my most memorable a few of my most memorable projects were a Mountain Dew commercial. You guys can look at, they can look it up.
That's cool.
On Google. A Mountain Dew commercial that I went out to China for. And it was it aired over the X Games, and it was a big deal, big commercial, Mountain Dew commercial. I was in Fast and Furious, the fourth one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you do? What did you, what was your part? What was your part in the movie?
I was a, no, it was just a one liner, just a one liner. And I was an I was an FBI agent in the GPS room.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
I'm trying to look up your, I'm trying to look up your Mountain Dew commercial.
Yeah. It, maybe if you look up Breon Ansley hero, it'll pop up.
Breon Ansley demo reel. What is
The demo reel. That's my reel.
One second.
My acting reel.
One second. This is good shit. I want to show this. I can't believe that's you. That's you with a fro.
That's me, man. That's me, man. Look how young.
Let's, I'm gonna let people hear this.
A nigga. Toby is gonna be the latest addition to our troop. I'm playing the role of John Shaft, and right here we have Erica Strutt. We've got a lead on the Farrah Fawcett Majors.
And Elvis.
I told you, Caesar, Elvis is yesterday's news. And plus, he's a ripoff. He stole everything from my people.
Elvis is cool.
We need to find...
Really? The nigga dead.
Yeah, yeah. We're aware of this.
Then what the fuck you want with me?
That's fucking... That's awesome. That's pretty sweet, man. So... So you did that for, you were serious about it for like 10 years?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I was in it heavy for a good, maybe 8 years, from about 2002 to 2010. And then bodybuilding took storm. My body started changing. And then my look started changing, and the parts that I was right for started changing. And then it, you know, everything changed, and I kind of just, you know, the bodybuilding bug got me. I wanted to be successful and win a Mr. Olympia. Mm-hmm. I said it after my first show in 2012. I wanted to give myself a 5-year plan to win the Mr. Olympia. And in the fifth year, I was able to do it in 2017. Oh, so, shit. Yeah. So it worked so out crazy. Beautifully.
But that's.
Yeah, it worked out beautifully.
But how did. So I did, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm an actor, but I did a whole bunch of commercial, like I got called to cast for a whole bunch of commercials, right? And right. I think I landed two of them. Most notably a Ford commercial. It was it was one of the Ford Tough series they were doing, right? So I did the Ford commercial. Yeah. Anyway, that's a pretty cool life too. How did you just walk away from it? Because I like, had I gotten more parts, I would have stayed, like I would have kept doing that. But I landed the first couple, and then there was a whole string of like, no, we don't need you. So I like kind of got away from it. But yeah. what got you, because that's a cool life. Like, I don't know, what got you away from that? Just because your body changed doesn't mean you couldn't do it.
Right. No, exactly. But I'm still dibbing and dabbing. I still have a manager. I still have a sports and specialty agency that I'm hooked up with. And I still keep my SAG card up every year. And I've been dibbing and dabbing for the last 3, 4, 5 years. Still, you know, doing little things like little music videos, little commercials, little industrial commercials, little things. You know, and, but I definitely want to get back into it, more so even now. And especially when I retire one day, as a bodybuilder.
How old are you, Brian?
I just turned, oh boy, you ready for this? This is going to probably shock some people. I just turned 41 November 10th.
I was going to fucking say that, but you look like you're 30.
That's so, what a lot of people say.
Okay, so 41, what is the bodybuilding plan then? Is it like win another Olympia or win 5 more Olympias and walk away? Or is it like go back to acting next year? Like what is, do you have like do you have another plan that's going to come to fruition?
No, man, I'm in my prime right now. 40s is, late 30s and early 40s is the bodybuilder's prime.
Yeah.
You know, as a man, at least.
Yeah.
So I'm in my prime. I definitely want to, at least my goal is definitely to be on the Olympia stage at least 10 times. And this is my fifth year. Okay. This is my fifth time this year. So we'll definitely keep reaching the goal of 5 more times on the Olympia stage.
Yeah.
And go from there But I feel great. I'm in my prime, and we're not going anywhere as far as in this sport.
Do you notice any, I know you're saying you're in your prime. Do you notice any issues at 41? Because I'm 42.
Okay.
And my fucking knees hurt and my back hurts. when I get out of bed in the morning, I get up at an angle and I have to like walk into a straight fucking posture. Yeah. So like, is that shit catching up with you? Or are you like, you wake up like you're good?
Right now I'm good because Fuad, I get work done all the time. I'm stretching twice a day. And you know, brother, like right now I'm 190 pounds. So I better not be aching too much at this weight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I do have, you know, from playing football, I do have knee issues. Mm-hmm. And I tore my ACL playing football, and it probably has, you know, it has some scar tissue and maybe even some arthritis in there.
Yeah.
So I do have, I have been battling my knee for years since I was 17.
Yeah.
So I'm used to that, but I mean, you know, just getting work done and, HRT work done. It's HRT, right? Yeah. HRT work, therapy work, and,
ART, tissue. You meant ART, I think.
ART. ART. Getting all that and stretching, that makes a world of difference.
Yeah. You
know, as far as, you know, how good you're feeling and how good the body is feeling.
Mm. All right. Yeah. Final question. Your winning mindset. You got the Olympia in 4 weeks. I'm probably not going to get to have you on again before the show. So where are we? What are we expecting from you? What is the mindset going forward for the next 4 weeks? And is there anything you want to say, anybody you want to thank, promote, anything before we head off? So I'll let you answer all of that.
Okay. Yeah. Winning mindset is just to have a killer mindset, bad intentions with every set, every rep. I want this one bad. I want this one really bad. I want to win this one really bad. I want to reclaim it really bad. I think to do it 3 times is something very, very, very special. So I want it really bad. Mm-hmm. And my mindset is just to, you know, to tell myself that I'm not in ever any pain. I'm not tired. And, I was supposed to have a rest day actually today, but I did not do it. I did not do it because of my mindset. Is that I just want it and I don't need it. And if I feel good enough to go in and do it, then I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to push.
Yeah.
And so that's the mindset. I want this one really bad. I think 3 is very special as far as a legacy is concerned.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm hungry for it. I really am. And I'm just so blessed and so fortunate to have the opportunity to get 3, you know, to win 3, Olympia titles. So blessed and so fortunate. So, I thank the good Lord for that.
Okay.
That's the mindset, man, going into the prep and then, going into the contest. Definitely have to thank all my sponsors, HD Muscle, Trifecta, Nirvana CBD for sure. Vanquish, Fitness. And that's about it. Definitely Coach Chris, Coach Brandon Gertis with Body Geeks. And we are pushing. And my girlfriend, Danny Phelps, who's lovely and very supportive. And we are pushing, man. And I think also all the gyms, too, that have been a part of my journey. Flex Gym in Woodland Hills. Bradley Martin's Gym. Zoo Culture in Woodland Hills. Fitiquity Gym in Burbank. And of course now the gym, it's called the gym in here in San Diego, which is just an amazing gym.
Yeah.
And then that's about it. And I'm going to do it for all those people, and I'm not going to let them or myself down.
Okay. Well, I will say this. 3 in itself is a huge, huge accomplishment, but especially coming back after 1 is even bigger. Like to have it go away and bring it back is like, You know what I mean? Like Jay's got that feather in his cap too. And it's a big thing because normally when people, once they let it go, it never comes back.
So right.
It's going to be pretty amazing to see if you can reclaim the title, man. So,
absolutely, man. Yeah, I appreciate you.
Listen, I appreciate you coming on. I'm sure everyone's going to love it. It was a great talk. I could probably talk to you for another hour, but I know you got shit to do and you got places to be. So I'll get this up soon and we will talk.
Thank you, my man. I really appreciate you, Fuad. And can't wait to air it and have everybody see it and enjoy it.
All right, brother. We'll talk soon.
All right, my brother.
Okay,
enjoy,
man.
And I'll see you soon. You're going to be out there, right, at the Olympia?
I might be. I'm not sure. I might be here commentating or I might be there commentating. We'll see.
Okay, either or.
So either right, or, but right. I'll be watching.
All right, and hopefully you're out there.
All right, we'll man.
Catch up.
Yeah, we'll talk soon.
All right, brother. I appreciate you.
Okay,
love.
Bye-bye.